May 1st, 1985. I've decided to turn over a new leaf. No more booze, no more drugs, no more cigarettes. 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, 50 squat thrusts every day. I'm gonna be somebody. I'm gonna do something big. I'm sick of being a nothing, watching people look through me like a dirty pane of glass. I'm gonna be famous, just like those people on radio and TV. I'll be famous if it kills me. May 4th. I've been real busy with my training. Not just physical training, but mental training too. Now I can concentrate. I concentrate so hard, sometimes my head hurts. I pretend I have a red dot on my forehead, just like those bhagwans from India. I concentrate on hours, but nothing but that red dot on my forehead. I can feel my brain move forward against the red dot, pushing, pulsing, rubbing against the inside of my skull. It feels like it's gonna explode. It wants out. May 5th. I got up this morning and my headache was gone. I went to the bathroom to see myself in the mirror. What I saw made me scream. There in the glass, staring back at me like a third eye, was the red dot. It appeared in the middle of my forehead overnight. I tried to poke it out, but it only got worse. The red dot is here to stay. May 6th. I saw a movie on TV where this guy gets his brains blown out with a gun. The backside of his head was missing, but the front only had a small hole. A red dot, just like mine. May 7th. I pawned my TV set and got a good deal on a gun, like the one in the movie. I can only afford 6 bullets. But one is all I really need. The red dot is getting bigger. May 8th. I only have my gun and my transistor radio to keep me company. Whenever I go outside, I hear the neighbors whisper. I can't hear what they're saying, but I still hear the whispers, even in the night. I try to stop breathing, to stop my heartbeat, and yet, no matter how quiet I become, I cannot make out what the whispers say. What are they trying to tell me? May 9th. The red dot has grown so big, I dare not leave my apartment during daylight hours. Today, a policeman stopped me and asked if I was all right. Of course I'm all right. The problem is with everybody else. If only they could see with my third eye. May 10th. Even at night, it is unsafe to leave my apartment. Tonight, I looked up and discovered the entire sky was full of shining eyes looking down at me. I can't stand it, all those eyes. I want to gouge them out, but it would take light years to reach them. May 11th. I listen to the radio a lot. They cut off the power, but I still got batteries. They haven't gotten my phone yet, so I can make requests for special songs. Sometimes they even dedicate them. I tell them to dedicate all music to William. That's the name of my gun. May 12th. I fell asleep to the radio and woke up with a voice in my brain. This wasn't a whisper, but an anti-whisper. A voice so loud, I couldn't help but obey it. It told me to wake up, that all America had slept too long. I did, and the voice kept talking to me. He said his name was Prell, Alan Prell. He told me to call a number, and I did, and he spoke with me on the phone. He asked me what I thought we should do about all the crime in the streets, and I said we should shoot them all. He said he liked me. I like him too. I hope he talks to me again. May 13th. Once more, I went to sleep to the radio, but Prell didn't speak to me. I waited and I waited, but he wouldn't speak to me. I called the phone number, but the lady said he wouldn't speak to anyone for another 6 days. I have 6 bullets. Isn't that a coincidence? May 14th. The red dot has nearly covered my forehead. I can't go outside anymore, not even with the hat. My peanut butter and crackers are getting pretty low, but I still have plenty of Twinkies. When I tried to call Prell, I discovered they had cut off my phone. I wonder if he had anything to do with it. May 15th. I'm out of peanut butter and crackers now. From here on out, it's just me and the Twinkies. The landlord came by and told me to pay or move out. I showed him William, and he went away. The red dot is so big now, I think it reaches into my brain. I may no longer be the boss. May 16th. The police came to kick me out, but I saw them coming and climbed out the fire escape with William and my radio. Found an empty shed up on the roof. Look at me, Ma. I'm on the top of the world. May 17th. Looking down at the streets from up here has improved my perspective. Everyone looks like a bunch of ants. If I had a big enough magnifying glass, I could just burn them all up. But unfortunately, there's no sun during the night, and that's when most of the scum comes out. The pushers, the pimps, the junkies, the living slime that evolved from out of the gutter. I'm too good for this town. I'd be wasting my talents wasting this scum. What I need is a big-time scum, somebody worth wasting. May 18th. It rained today, and the shed roof leaked. I had to spend most of my time keeping William dry. I could see all the ants below running around trying to keep their dirt from getting rinsed off. One day, a real rain will come and wash all this scum away. And I'll say, I told you so. May 19th. At last, Prell spoke to me again. But this time, I had to go to a payphone to call him on the air. I told him I was running out of money calling him. He called me a communist and hung up. I called again and he hung up on me again. He thinks he's such a big shot. I'll show him who's a big shot. Right, William? May 20th. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it any longer. May 21st. I hear the voice consistently, taunting me, teasing me, daring me to shut it up. There's no way to be certain just when the decision was made. Perhaps it was made a million years ago. Only one thing is certain. I must kill Alan Prell. May 22nd. Today is just like yesterday, only more so. May 23rd. Now that I know my purpose, it'll be easier to go about my mission. First, I'll give him one more warning. One last chance to redeem himself. Then I will pounce. I will blow him away on the air for all the world to hear. I know this is the only thing that I can do that everyone will appreciate. I will be remembered for my poor but earnest contribution to mankind. May 24th. I have no mirror. I can't see the red dot, but I know it's there. It hurts more and more. May 25th. I confiscated some money from a mugger. It's not the same as stealing, since he stole it from someone else. I probably should have executed the bastard, but I don't want to waste my bullets. I'm saving them for Prell. And I'm saving my money to call him up, too. I want to give him one last warning. May 26th. At last, I got my chance to call up Prell on the air, and I gave him his final warning. The poor, unsuspecting fool. I told him I was going to take him out, and he thought I meant lunch. If he only realized how close his impending doom really is. The other callers hate him, too. There's not a jury in the land that would convict me. I'll be a national hero. Prell's days are numbered. Only 6 more to go. May 27th. It's Memorial Day today. I put a towel on my head and went to the local cemetery. I grabbed some flowers and looked all over the place for an appropriate place to plant them. Why can't they ever organize those places in alphabetical order? Finally, I found it. The Prell family crypt. The flowers were already wilting by the time I left. Only 5 more days. May 28th. There's a war going on in my mind. A war between the whispers and the voice. The voice yells, kill Prell, kill Prell, kill Prell. I still can't hear what the whispers are saying. I guess the yeas have it. 4 more days. May 29th. I called the number again and got the address to the station where Prell works. It was so easy. I told them I had a special delivery. Do I ever? 3 more days. May 30th. Last night I had a dream. I dreamed I was a radio talk show host, and somebody came to shoot me. Then, when I was dead, the police caught the guy, tossed him into prison, and threw away the key. In a few years, everyone forgot about the murder, and the fellow in prison that committed the murder. There's a moral to all this. Dreams are stupid. Who needs them? May 31st. Hey, Prell. You talking to me? You talking to me? There's no one else here. What's that, William? He's talking to you? One more day, Prell, and you'll be talking to both of us. June 1st. I woke up today and discovered my headache was gone, and the red dot was completely healed. No more voices. No more whispers. No nothing. I feel like a new man. I've decided to leave this town, find a job, start a whole new life. After I finish off Prell!
Hello, Prell Show, you're on the air. No one there. Gotta call you. Alan Prell Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I bet you have one nut just like it.
Hello. There's more than one nut in this room, I want to tell you. And there's more than one nut out there calling in.
Hey, you can't be in this system.
Wait a minute, hold on. What's going on in here?
Hey, what is this?
Well, there you have it. The warped, twisted, murderous diary of a madman, recreated and dramatized from the original manuscripts, as it was found amongst the smoldering ashes of the assassin's apartment. The journal was protected in a fireproof strongbox, yet all other remains were rendered unrecognizable by the blaze. Who knows? The cold-blooded killer may still be at large. I commissioned this tape at great emotional cost to me and the rest of the Prell clan. It reopened many wounds that can never heal. And yet, I felt it was necessary to warn you, the listener, of the constant dangers we, the proponents of free speech, face on a daily basis. My dearly beloved son, Alan Prell Jr., has already paid the ultimate price in blood. That dark day, June 2nd, 1985, is a day that shall live in infamy, lest we forget. Alas, one day you may turn on the radio to discover me missing. How I shall be silenced is unknown. Be it by bullet, stroke, or the stroke of a pen. There is no way to predict how the enemies of democracy will attack. But attack they most certainly will. And the only one question remains, and that is, will you, my fellow American, respond to the call to arms? Will you prevent the flag of freedom from falling? If so, speak now, or forever hold your peace. Because you're going to need that peace to protect yourself from those out to shut you up. Take it from me, Alan Prell Sr. I learned the hard way through the sacrifice of my firstborn, Alan Jr., 1946 to 1985. I cannot go on. But fortunately, we're about out of time. So until next week, this is Papa Prell saying so long till next time again, and God bless. And God bless you too, Alan. We know you're up there somewhere. And we'll keep carrying the torch as long as God and Arbitron permit.